T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The question is, are the Patriots better off without Tom Brady? And the answer is, hell no.
If guys aren't on all hitting on all cylinders, like, Tom's going to let you know about it.
Hi, I'm Tom Brady.
I'm not going anywhere.
And it's been a blast.
Dale Arnold.
Nothing good ever happens going out of the house. You know that. There's just trouble out there. It's not a good place to be.
Rich Keefe.
Unbelievable. Well done. Great hair. Fantastic stunt. I've never seen anything like it.
Dale and Keefe with Jermaine Wiggins.
I'm going to break out the jerseys. Show them how to do it.
Ricky Snails Jones.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We'll talk to Ty Law at the bottom of the hour. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have announced that they are dropping their new uniform on April 7th.
All right.
I just placed on my Twitter feed, at Dale E. Arnold, one of the many concepts. And I'm going to suggest it's a little tough for me to picture Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, playing in a pirate uniform. I mean, it just it looks like a uniform directly out of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, no.
Do you see this thing?
No, let me go find your Twitter here.
Where'd you put it?
I put it on my Twitter feed, at Dale E. Arnold. And now, they go out of their way to say this is one of many concepts, but tell me they're not really thinking about either one of these as helmet ideas.
So I like the creamsicle, though. If they're going back to the light orange, I do like that very much. Actually, I don't hate it as much as you do, Dale. It's you got, like, the skull.
Do you like that black helmet?
No, the black one I don't like as much.
Looks like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, a little bit. But that's kind of what they're going for. They have a pirate ship down there, for God's sakes. And they shoot cannons.
Yeah.
But the that logo's not terrible. You got cross swords. As you know, I'm a swordsman, so I do respect that a little bit.
In all aspects of the term.
Yeah, so I kind of like that. Either way, it's going to be weird to see Brady in that. Old Bucks, new Bucks, current Bucks, whatever the Bucks uniform is,
it's
going to be weird.
The little skull on the pants, on each of the two different pants, skull on the side of the pants.
But see, when you're going all black like that, now you're kind of stealing some of that Raiders look, aren't you?
See, I can't find these uniforms.
Go to his thing, and then because he added Tom Brady. So you got to go tweets and replies. Click on tweets and replies on Dale's thing. It goes a John
Dale. You got to put a dot in front of it first if you want it to show up on the timeline.
It's
a social media tip for you.
It's like you're just talking to Tom.
If I want to show up on Tom's timeline, I'm not interested in that. But
I like him.
Do you?
Yes.
I like the orange one better than the black one.
I like the black one though too. But see,
what are you, the Raiders now?
I can.
They already got dibs on that.
Yeah,
the silver and black. That is all them.
I guess maybe
that's one of their colors. They're orange. They're white, and then they added later on like the pewter.
So what if the black one was all white?
Yeah, I'd like it better.
Okay. I hate the logo on the helmet.
But is this right? Because there's been like leaked.
No, it said this is one of the concepts that are out.
Okay,
they're not saying this is it, but.
I don't mind that.
I kind of don't hate the logo where you got the swords with the football on it,
with
and then
the
you got like that
it.
Demon skull.
Yeah.
It looks like Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. I've seen worse uniforms. Like the LA Rams new logo is worse than this one.
Well, yesterday was the anniversary of the Pat Patriot logo, which a lot of people
love
man,
it.
I want
hated
love
then
it.
And don't like now.
I love it. I want them to come back with that uniform so bad.
Snapping the rock. I mean, that is nice. It's a lot better than the one they have now.
I am so hoping that the NFL changes the rule, and I know Bruce Arians talked about it, where you can only wear one helmet, where you can now have multiple helmets.
Yeah.
Because if they do go back to the multiple helmets, they'll be able to wear those classic Pat Patriots
uniforms. How can college teams wear multiple helmets, but pros can't?
Yeah, I don't really get
what's up with that?
And I don't get the helmet issue, right? If somebody had an issue with a helmet, they wanted a new one, they'd love to get you in a new helmet.
Right. Or, like, can't you get, like, whatever the helmet is, like, the let's say the Air 307.
Right.
And you have one in gray, can't you also have one in white? Like, what? I don't understand that.
I like what college football does with their uniforms. Oregon,
they've got like 12 different uniforms.
Oh yeah. My god, every game is a different outfit.
And I think that's cool. I
think a lot of the high school kids love it.
And I hope the NFL goes back to it with the helmets, and then you'll be able to see the Patriots, and they're
with
all
the red,
white.
Oh, the all white.
The all white old school Pat Patriot.
Because they did that a couple times, right? Brady did when it was like whatever the year anniversary was.
Yeah,
before this new helmet rule, they were able to do it.
I think the last time they might have done it was the icy white. The Thanksgiving.
Nice.
Was it Thanksgiving? When they played Detroit?
Maybe.
Was the last time they did it.
Yeah, good.
I got to be honest with you. I don't like either of them, but the black one in particular is just a little too Disney for me.
Now that I look at it, the black does go Raiders.
They're Raiders. And I like the numbers better, though, because the numbers on the current Buccaneers uniforms are a joke. It looks like a digital clock.
Yeah.
So at least the font makes a little bit more sense. Again, that orange one, what they should do is take that orange one and then do the inverse of it, where it's white with the orange outline, and then that's your home and your road.
I like the other helmet, the white helmet, better, where it has the two swords with the football
With the football and the stripe. You can barely see it, but there's an orange stripe in the middle of it.
So
sharp helmet.
On the Buccaneers social media platform, I think it was on Twitter, right after they announced the signing of Brady, they did this thing where they showed several players, and Chris Godwin was one of them. They took him into a room, and they showed them the new uniforms. Now, they didn't show you the new uniforms. It was only the players who were seeing them.
Oh, yeah. College teams do this all the time.
Yeah, and it was like, well, which one do you like? And there were three. And, you know, most of them, we don't know what 1, 2, and 3 was, but they seemed to like them.
Have you seen those videos where high school and college teams would unveil new jerseys and they would act like they just won the Super Bowl?
They're literally
like crashing into each other and like dancing.
I was part of when we changed the uniforms in Minnesota and we unveiled the new uniforms. But then what I liked that Minnesota then did is I wasn't there, but I wish I was there when they were doing it, is they went to the all purple with the purple matte helmets, the matted color.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's not a bad look.
I like that a lot.
So the Twitter site UniWatch.
Okay. Oh, yeah, these guys are good.
They have a look at what they say are the new uniforms, and they don't look anything like those that were put out there.
See, that's the thing is
a lot like the present uniforms, actually.
See, that sucks. If it's the same ones, like what are we doing?
It's not dramatically different.
Because isn't that what the Patriots are apparently doing? Like, I think Fitzy had some like inside information on it, but it's like a slight tweak because
they'll change the width of a stripe on the shoulder
right.
or something.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
no
okay.
one wants that.
Like, yeah, give
really,
me something.
Man, give me something that's gonna really stand out. I do like that. I don't know if this is true, but I heard that they're gonna go to the Color Rush all blue.
Yeah, I think. Oh yeah, that's what Fitzy said, right?
Like, so I'm looking at the UniWatch renderings. And on one of them, it's got the pewter pants and the red shirt and obviously the pewter helmet with the red logo. And then they've got a white uniform, which is, you know, white pants, white shirt and all that stuff. It doesn't look dramatically different to me.
No. Either way, it's going to be weird. You know, because they've had so many of the mock-ups already and the Photoshops of Brady in the Bucks uniform. And it's going to take a while to get used to. I was actually the other day, I forget what we were doing. Oh, it was when we were ranking the tight ends. I went to Tom Brady's Pro Football Reference page, and it says Team Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And even that to me was like,
weird. Yeah, it's still
like,
weird.
Oh, my God.
Now, Wiggy, as a player in the league, you would have been okay with wearing the creamsicle. I hate the creamsicle, by the way.
I would have loved it. I would have.
Really?
Yeah.
I never liked them.
I think a lot of players in the league, they like, you know, they're a little bit younger, so they like some of that, like, swagging, different colors. You know, they want their whole thing to be, like, man, this is sweet.
Because I didn't like the creamsicles at first, and then it grew on me. And I also think part of it was they were so bad. So they were wearing them when they were like 1 and 15.
Oh, they were horrible.
They were horrible.
Yeah.
But if they were a better team, then I think people would have liked them.
But I do
and then
like,
the fact that they're like the class, like the old uniforms are almost always
better. I
think
John McKay when I see the creamsicles. But if, and that yeah. was not a good time.
But no. if you could go all creamsicle color with the jersey and the pants, it'd be pretty sweet.
And a nice creamsicle helmet too.
And with the cleats, you could really do some. You could really do some nice.
Oh no, the NFL won't let you do that.
Oh no, that's the problem with the NFL. The NFL needs to treat it like basketball, mm-hmm. what they're doing, you mm-hmm. know, or even like college football. I think that's the thing. But yeah, I don't. I like the creamsicle color.
I never. Yeah, it never.
It's like
did
the powdered blue for the Chargers. Love the powdered blue.
See, I did like those. Didn't like the creamsicle, but loved the powder blue.
But I was also, and I know there weren't, I don't know what the numbers were. If there were a ton of people that were fan. I was also a big fan of the Color Rush.
Some teams were really good. Some were terrible.
Yeah. I liked the Seahawks when they went with that, what was it, fluorescent color?
Mm.
I did like that. So
What was the team? Oh, it was Jacksonville that had the baby poop. Color uniform.
Horrible. It was soaked in urine. That thing was disgusting.
You know awful. What I don't like? I don't like the, is it the Steelers? Is it Pittsburgh? Or is it Green Bay? Which one's got the real, with the stripes going?
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has those.
Yeah, that's the one I don't like. They're like real old.
Jeans. I just tweeted out a photo of Jermaine Wiggins as one of the seven Minnesota Vikings showing off their new look uniform.
Yeah.
You look pretty pumped about that.
By the way, Wiggy, you were on the Jets Twitter feed this week, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that.
With the only thing I like your first touchdown.
First touchdown was the Monday night
from Vinny Testaverde.
Yep, it was
pretty
the
good.
Classic Monday night comeback game against the Dolphins when Arnold Schwarzenegger was in
what?
Yeah, he was in the actual he was in the booth with who was doing Monday Night Football?
Probably Al Michaels and somebody. Dan Dierdorf and Frank Gifford.
And we were losing by like maybe like 21 or 24
yeah,
points.
Yeah, you didn't celebrate a lot. Yeah.
Well, it was my first one.
But I saw on the score you were down, even after the touchdown, you were down by a bunch.
Well,
that's good. Know when to celebrate, Wiggy. That's good.
Well, and he goes and he told Al Michaels and them, yeah, the Jets are going to come back and win this game. We ultimately came back and won the game in overtime.
Nice.
There you go.
Pretty good game.
That is nice.
617-779-7937. Fred's in Swansea. Hey, Fred.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
How are you?
I'm doing very well under the circumstances.
Yeah.
Hey, I was wondering, once we finally get to a football season, what do the results look like from the Nielsen ratings after a Sunday game with the Patriots and also a Sunday game played by the Bucks aired in this market? Who gets the better ratings?
I would guess the Patriots.
I think still the Patriots would, but it's a good question. I mean, there's going to be so much interest in Brady.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean,
especially early in the season, right?
Well, early in the season, but also late. I think you'll have a good question. If hypothetically the Patriots get off to a 2-6 start and the Bucs are 6-2, well, then you know, midway, end of the season, maybe there is more interest in the Bucs.
And how much more time do we spend talking about Brady's performance versus Stidham's?
Oh, you mean here on sports radio?
Yeah, a ton.
Yeah, we'll do both.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think it'll be predominantly, you know, Tom Brady and Buccaneers talk on a Monday, but it'll come up.
Well, it'll
come up every Monday.
It'll be based off
I think it'll be almost 50-50.
If the Pats lose and the Bucs win and Tom plays well, it'll be we are now then what we're doing, we're going, what? See, we could have been doing this if we had Tom Brady. Look at the team.
There's going to be so much of that.
Yeah, team can't do this, and it should have been Stidham, put Hoyer in the game. It'll be all of that. If, you know, it'll be us reacting to how Brady does with the Buccaneers and how the Patriots are performing.
Right, because it'll be a monster story. If Brady is great, it's a big story. If he's terrible, it's still a big story.
If the
like,
Pats
it's just
are
the
good,
other way.
If the Pats are
good, that's great. If they're terrible, it's not ideal, but then all of a sudden there's a lot more finger pointing and everything else. So no matter what, it's going to be wildly entertaining.
So there's a guy by the name of Mike Clay. He works for ESPN. He's one of these, you know, statistics gurus, prognosticators, does a lot of projections of how they're going to finish and all of that stuff. In his projected standings, he's got the Patriots finishing second in the AFC East to the Buffalo Bills and not making the playoffs.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty fair assessment.
His AFC rankings, playoff rankings, because now you have seven, you know, teams in each conference.
Right.
He's got Kansas City 1, Baltimore 2, Indianapolis 3, Buffalo 4, Pittsburgh 5, Denver 6, Tennessee 7.
Wow.
Well, so he doesn't have Houston either.
No.
Nope.
After the Hopkins trade.
He has Tennessee pretty low.
But I mean, I think
now on the other on the other hand, in the NFC, he's got New Orleans 1, San Francisco 2,
mm-hmm.
Dallas 3,
mm-hmm.
Green Bay 4,
mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay 5, Seattle 6, Philadelphia 7.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty safe. He's not going out on a limb there in the NFC at all. Right.
In the NFC South, he's got Tampa Bay finishing second to New Orleans. That's perfectly legitimate,
mm-hmm.
but still able to make the playoffs with that.
Yeah, I think the Patriots, again, especially because of the extra wild card game, I wouldn't rule out them playing competitive games late in the year, but it's going to be the separate conversations. Like, could they make the playoffs? Sure. Mm-hmm. Could they win the Super Bowl? No chance. That's how I feel like it's going to play.
And I don't even...
I was just going to say, Brady week continues because Ty Law is going to join us next.
Buys him time. Now on a roll and throws, and it is intercepted. Ty Law picks it off. Manning on the move. Flips it. Incomplete. Is it picked off? Ty Law again. Not a heavy rush at all. Far sideline. Short picked off. Ty Law coming back over the middle to the 25, to the 30-yard line. Third interception of the day for Ty Law.
Brady Week on WEEI to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation's Restaurant Strong Fund is brought to you by Samuel Adams, celebrating Brady's 20 years in New England. To support those in the service industry who've been financially burdened by COVID-19, visit restaurantstrong.org. He's a first-round draft pick out of the University of Michigan. He is also a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Ty Law joins us right now on the Harbor One Hotline. Ty, it's Dale, Rich, and Wiggy. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks. As a Michigan man, when all of a sudden the Patriots drafted a Michigan man at quarterback and he joined you in a Patriots locker room, what did you first think of Tom Brady?
We came to there from the success that he has, you know, had throughout his career of being the greatest of all time. I don't think anybody could have anticipated that. What he's done. So when you get drafted, of course, you're going to take a special interest because he's a Michigan guy, but and try to welcome him in, take him under your wing as much as you can, because you know we try to stick together. Wiggy, you stick together
right.
Somebody from your college,
right?
You know what I mean. But outside of that, you know, he was just another head coming into the locker room, as far as I was concerned.
And in 2001,
just like I was when I was a rookie,
yeah,
and I was a first rounder.
We've talked to Wiggy about this, but in 01, when Bledsoe goes down, what was your reaction? What were you thinking then?
I mean, for me, we were a defensive team anyway. We looked at ourselves as a defensive team. So when Bledsoe went down, we felt that we just needed to step up, you know, our game a little bit more. Tom just needed to manage the game. You know, no one was looking for him to come in and be a savior because we had this, you know, from a defensive standpoint. We felt like we were one of the better defensive teams in the National Football League, and that was the strength, you know, at that time.
Now, when people talk about this, Ty, they always talk about the relationship between Brady and Belichick. I mean, you're a guy who played for Bill for a long time and, you know, had a relationship with him. Talk about, you know, as a player, being able to understand and work with Bill Belichick and knowing his personality and dealing with that relationship.
Well, I mean, you got to understand the coach-player dynamic, you know, first of all. Like, I had, you know, two different type of relationships. I mean, it was one, but it was different when he was my position coach when he first came, and when we went to the Super Bowl in 96. He was my defensive back, so I got to interact with him, you know, every day, all day. You're in the meeting rooms with him, so you tend to, you know, create, you know, that type of bond from, you know, a position coach's standpoint. And then, you know, he leaves and comes back, and now he's the head coach. So, of course, myself and Lawyer, even though I was a huge fan of, you know, Pete Carroll, when he left, when Bill came back, I'm like, oh, me and Lawyer, like, oh, damn, what up, Bill, what up? And then he come in, and it's a little bit different. Hey, we like, damn, we done got brand new. But at the same time, understand that now he has to oversee everybody. You know, he's just not the DB coach. He's just not our guy. You know what I mean? So he has a lot more responsibility in his playing. So and you understand that. So I think, you know, from that standpoint, I had a better idea of who he was overall because I spent every day with him for a amount of time in that relationship group. But then when he become a head coach, you don't get to, is even as accessible as Coach Belichick is, you can't just go and talk to him and get this, do this all the time or just bounce stuff off of him because it was much easier when he was your position coach. But you understand that as a player. You know, he has, you know, 50-something out of the guys that he has to tend to, you know what I mean, right, and manage the team. So, I mean, Bill, he's done it great, you know what I mean, and to be able to coach like he does, bring in those type of players, get the team around him with as far as his staff, and be able to handle that salary cap like he does. I mean, hats off to him. He's the best that's ever done it. You know what I mean? He's the GOAT, just like Tom is the GOAT.
Right. We're talking with NFL Hall of Fame defensive back Ty Law, 3-time Super Bowl champion. Rodney Harrison has told stories about legendary practice battles with Tom Brady and not wanting to give up a single play in practice. What was it like for you in practice going against Tom Brady?
I mean, of course, take advantage of him as much as I could. You know what I mean? There's one, to get better, to get him better, and just being a competitor. You know, Tom was one of those guys that we would light him up pretty good, you know, especially when he first got there, but he did not like to lose. So we would, of course, you know, like Wiggy can contest this. I mean, we were a different type of group. You know, right, myself, Lawyer, Rodney. I mean, we talked trash, you know, just because. And Tom wasn't immune to that. So we was on Tom's ass just like everybody else. And we gave him a hard time. You know what I mean? So, and it got to a point in his younger day that he got so frustrated to where he's going to come right back at you and try to get you with a similar play that you might have just picked off. You know what I mean?
That's just, right.
That's just Tom. So I think that, you know, coming in with us and the type of group that we had, always talking, always trying to throw different things at you, it made him a better quarterback.
Now, Brady's obviously leaving New England after 20 years, which I can imagine is quite an adjustment. You were here for 10 before right. You left. What was that first year like going from New England to the Jets after a whole decade with one team?
I mean, it was an adjustment. You know, of course, I had some familiarity with the team, you know, because we played them twice a year. And then, you know, coming in with my roommate at the time for 3 years was Curtis Martin. You know what I mean? Mm. So he was already there. You know, I was familiar with Herm Edwards, you know, throughout, you know, my tenure in New England. And it's just that culture that we created, it was a little bit different when I got to New York. You know what I mean? It's a different way the locker room goes. I had to adjust to those guys instead of being in our locker room, and most free agents or guys come in, they have to adjust to how we do it, you know, what you guys call the Patriot way. You know what I mean? So right. It was definitely an adjustment, but at the end of the day, can you play football? And it's football. Everyone wants to win. You just have to get acclimated to the different surroundings and the different cultures. For example, a small example is before the game. Now, we had headphones on. At certain point, our locker room goes quiet. You can listen to your own music. How do you prepare for your game? But up in New York, you know, you had this guy had his speaker, this guy. It was about 9 different genres of music playing before the damn game. Like, that was different for me. You know what I mean? I'm like, what the hell? So, of course, me being an outsider coming in and just getting, you know, adjusted to them, I would say, Kurt. You know, I go to Kurt. Everybody looked up to Curtis, you know, captain of the team. I said, what's going on, man? What the hell? He was like, oh, that's just how they do it around here, man. But so Curtis was very non-confrontational like that. You know, Herm was more of a free-flowing guy, and he let guys warm up that way. You know, that wouldn't happen in our locker room. The first one that had been came and kicked over your speaker would probably be Willie McGinnis. He probably came and kicked the goddamn speaker over. You know what I mean? All so right. Those type of things are – adjustments, because, like, you know, when I'm coming out getting ready to get focused in on the game, you know, I hear some guys, you know, young guys in New York, they worrying about the club after the game. Hey, man, we gonna meet here after club. I'm like, it is 5 minutes before kickoff. What the hell are you talking about?
Right.
You know what I mean? That kind of stuff.
Right.
So it depends on the type of culture that's already there. But Brady's going to come in and demand so much respect, they're going to follow his lead right away. I came into a situation where I was still somewhat the enemy. you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And I had to earn those guys' respect on the field and, you know, which I did. I got 10 interceptions for him, so, so I did what I had to do.
Led the league, no big
right,
deal.
Yeah. Right. Now, another thing that people always talk about, and especially with Tom and Bill, I think the biggest thing is, you know, personal. Was it personal? Was it business? And now you're somebody, you can relate to the situation, and I've always felt like, you know, Bill puts a price tag on you, and that price tag he has for you, it don't always kind of go hand in hand on what
I've been there, Wiggy.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
I've been there. I mean, and he has a price, and he has it set, and that's what it's going to be. Now, it can be maybe a little negotiation, but it ain't going to be very much wiggle room, you know, when it comes to a bill when he has this price. I mean, that's just the way it is, and that's how, you know, he's been successful, I guess. You know, you can't argue with a man that's been, you know, the 9 Super Bowls. You know what I mean? And the way he handles his team, and that's what he chooses to do. So it's business on his end as far as keeping the team together and not overpaying, you know, doing his job and saving Mr. Kraft money, you know, and still continuing to win.
Right.
But we have a obligation to ourselves, you know, and our family to get what we feel that we deserve as players. And sometimes that doesn't always coincide. You know, I don't care if you're Tom Brady or the last guy on the roster.
Right.
You know what I mean? I thought Tom Brady would probably be the least expendable of any of us, of course. But at the same time, I've always said, and that probably was on record, he's not immune to the business of the NFL. And he's not immune to Bill Belichick.
Right.
You know, and how he does business. It is what it is. So when people go crazy, it's like, Tom Brady is going somewhere else. I did not want to see him leave and go to another team. But guess what? He ain't the first or the last great player to do it. How many teams has Deion Sanders played for? Joe Montana, he left. Emmitt Smith, the all-time leading rusher. Jerry Rice been to a few teams. Come on, think about all those guys that in there with gold jackets. And not all of them play. The majority of them play with a couple teams.
Right.
Even if it's at the end of their career.
And especially when
you're what it is. And that's the business, man. So it's like people getting so in an uproar, which this is the business of the NFL, and Tom Brady is not immune to the NFL because whether he stays or he leaves, the NFL is going to move on.
Right, and especially when your head coach in Belichick, like you said, he's not willing to move off that price tag. And your price tag and his price tag, a lot of times, are far apart.
Right.
Right, and if they're far apart, who you think is going to win?
We played a highlight of you picking off Peyton Manning, who you really tortured during the course of your NFL career. You also picked off Tom Brady in a game. Did you say anything to him afterwards?
Oh, yeah. After the fact, you know, he had called me and asked me, you know, because it's funny how the great ones are. I got to tell you a story about Peyton, too, because Peyton would try to get you after you have these things with Peyton. And once you get over to the Pro Bowl, you're on the same team. Peyton try to get you drunk and then try to dig into your brain. What did you see? You know, what did you do this night? But he try to, he's, you know, it's on me, try to feed you all these it was my time right there. So Tom called me after the game, and he was like, he said, what did you see? I said, Tom, I've been blue. Because he used to do this over-exaggerated throw. And I knew once I knew the play, and I was like, you know, Wiggy, David Gibbons ain't gonna run by nobody.
Right.
you know I'm gonna sit on that.
Right.
So he stood out there, he did a short motion. The only thing that he's gonna do on that one is come up, he's gonna do a quick out or try to do an out and up.
Right.
Tom Brady, he gets the snap, he exaggerated a throw to the opposite side, tried to come back on me with the out.
Right.
Soon as I seen that, he didn't take his hand off the ball. So I was like, you got to take your hand off the ball to throw it. And it happens real fast. But that was such a fake pump. I said, oh, I just stopped in my tracks. I said, I'm going the other way. If you get me on the double move, you get me. But I've seen this before. And then I said, if you would have got me, I probably would have caught David Gibbons' ass anyway.
Ty, I'm curious, out of all the receivers you went up against in your career, was there one guy that gave you more problems than anybody else?
You know what? I've been beat just like anybody else, but I'll say when I go to play against Jimmy Smith, I say he makes you bring your lunch bucket and you know that you're going to have to play the game. You know what I mean? It wasn't everybody expects you to say Randy Moss, T.O., and guys like that. No, Jimmy Smith can play because I was aggressive. And you got to try to intimidate guys. Wiggy, you was a tight end, so I ain't going to put you in this category. I'm going to give you a little bit, but most of y'all receive. Y'all soft as hell, man. Y'all soft. You know, they soft. They prima donna. They want the ball. Just throw me the damn ball, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, man, I just beat him up. But Jimmy was the type of guy that you could get up on him, jam him at the line, and get up in his face, try to muscle him. You can't do that to him. He was similar to Hines Ward, but faster. You know, right. Hines, he'll wrestle with you, but you know, he ain't never going to run by you.
Yeah,
he ain't gonna never. Ain't nobody never worried about getting beat by Hines Ward getting deep. But Jimmy Smith will beat you
right
deep quick. You know, and he's aggressive, and he's coming back at you. You know, similar to Michael Irvin, but faster. So it's only a few guys out there, and he was one of them because he had the combination of size, speed, toughness, and he wasn't no punk.
Right.
So I was like, you know what, and I've always given Jimmy Smith the respect that he deserves because I knew I had to come work.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people wouldn't think about him, but he was one of the most appreciated receivers of all time, in my opinion.
And what a lot of people don't realize is that Ty was actually pretty fast. And
you had a little
gear on you there. You know, a lot of people didn't realize that, but
right.
Ty could get you now.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it's like it was in mine. To be honest with you, I mean, you know, I was a consistent. I always say I was a consistent 4.4. I wasn't a 4.2 guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I probably get a high 4.3 on my best day, but you know, I always say from the first quarter, and that's why I trained. You know, my regiment, where you how I came
in
the morning, I always ran.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm running that same 4.4 from the first snap to the for the fourth quarter. But most of the fast guys, you tend to wear them down. I beat them up. So what good is your 4.2 speed in the beginning? But by the time I'm done with you in this third, fourth quarter, when the game starts to get on, oh, now you running 4.5, 4.6. You know what I mean? Because, you know, we beating you up. So that's how I approach the game.
No disrespect meant to Mike Haynes, who I never saw play live. So I'm very happy to say the greatest defensive back in the history of the New England Patriots, Ty Law, joining us. We really sincerely appreciate the time and thank you.
Hey, thank you guys for having me, man. Hey, how you guys holding up on this quarantine, man? And I hope y'all
right.
Come from home, ain't you?
Yeah,
Dale's. Dale's.
We're
from
all
home.
Separated. Yeah.
Me and Wiggy are 6 feet apart.
Listen,
here.
I'm ready for football to get back here. You know, with the kids and stuff, man. I'm ready. You know, you got one out there, so you know, I'm just ready to get back out there.
Hey, well, I know that's right. Well, check this out, guys. Hey. You come back online.
You delivered some to Robert Kraft already, so you've got some to give.
I can't wait for that.
Ty's one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. We're going to sit up there and have a good time, and I'm gonna just invite me. I'm coming.
Right.
We're going to spend some time on the show. I'm going to spend the whole at least an hour with your guys,
right.
man.
Any day you want.
Have some drinks.
Literally any day you want.
Absolutely.
I know this from having a few drinks with Ty before. Yeah. Ty's a good one to drink with.
Okay.
Him and OTIS.
Okay.
We got to get Otis, too.
Okay.
Thanks, Ty.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right,
thanks
man.
So much, Ty.
That is former New England Patriots defensive back Ty Law.
Tells it like it is, man. That's why I always love
him. I believe that's a record.
That's a
WEEI record for the most four-letter words dropped in one interview ever.
But that's
John was swimming back there. Right.
There was enough
catch
time
those.
Between them that
we didn't have to tell him.
Did we
stay
on
good. The air for
yeah.
those?
Yeah, we're good.
So week in review, we're going to have to probably relive most of that. So let me, just as a fanboy here, because I am still a fan, for the record, Ty Law, my favorite football player of all time. I love Ty Law.
Yeah.
I had the law firm poster in high school, the one with him and Lawyer Malloy, where they're in the suits like on Congress, and they're like the law firm or whatever. And I got the Ty Law jersey. Love him. And he's going to bring us vodka.
Right.
Can it get any better? He wants to hang out here?
Right.
Well, It's not going to get any better than today. And today is the greatest day.
Keith has officially peaked.
And you have ever had.
And when you hang out, you have drinks with him. He's you know, he's down to earth as they come. You know, he keeps it 100. And you know, I've always respected him as a player on the field for everything.
Incredible player. And I loved his answer about best receiver or toughest receiver for him anyway. Because he's like, you'd think he'd say Randy Moss. Obviously, he had those good battles with Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne.
But they were soft.
But Jimmy Smith was tough. Jimmy Smith was a bad dude.
Yes.
And he had some really good seasons, and they didn't get lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. Like, he was those early Jaguars days. And a fun little Jimmy Smith fact, that 2000 Ravens defense, which is, like, known as the greatest defense of all time, if you go back and check the box scores, Jimmy Smith torched them.
Right.
He had, like, 200-yard games against that team. So that was a really I did not see that answer coming.
It was Jimmy Smith and you think about their receiving core. It was Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCarter.
And then you got Brunell throwing it to him. So that was pretty good.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll let you talk about Ty Law if you want to when we come back in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keith. Oh, wait a minute. Now, there was something else we had going later in the show.
What do we got cooking up here?
I forgot it. Oh, it's what else you got. Whatever it is. It's coming
it's
up
be
about,
good.
At about 145. I don't know how we're going to top that anyway. So
I say we just replay that till the rest of the show.
As Conrad Thompson says on his podcast, we must as well just roll credits.
Yes.
Because that's
hard
about
to top
as good
that.
As,
that was great.
It's Dale and Keith with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI.
The reviews are in.
First of all, I'm a Daleaholic. You guys listening to you two together is great.
Thanks for being on every day and entertaining us.
This is Dale and Keith.
Hi, Dale.
This show has really grown on me. Rich is whacked.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
So believe it or not, there is new Tom Brady news that came out within the last few minutes. If you're ready for this one. Tom Brady, of course, recently signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That is the same city that was set to host WrestleMania 36 this weekend. According to a report out there, the WWE and the Buccaneers were in discussions with Brady to appear at WrestleMania 36 in a non-physical role, and at the time he was open to the idea. Of course, his former teammate is now the host for WrestleMania, Rob Gronkowski. So according to this website, Brady was in discussions to appear at WrestleMania, and obviously it would have been the first opportunity for him to appear in Tampa Bay since signing with the Buccaneers. And
kind of makes sense, really.
They would come off the place.
Right. Oh, I know. But the tie-in with Gronk, so I think Brady would have probably felt comfortable, gone out there, waved to the crowd or something, and said, you know, hey, it's great to be here in Tampa. Place goes nuts, and then that's it.
Somebody's getting ready to beat up Gronk, and all of a sudden a football hits him in the back of the head.
Hey, here comes Tom Brady's music. Yeah, you never know.
So we had Ty Law on just a few minutes ago, and we had to clean this cut up because there were a couple of words in there that we couldn't say. But I did ask him after he picked off Tom Brady in a game if you know he and Tom talked about it, and that led Ty down another path.
Oh yeah, he you know after the fact he had called me and asked me because it's funny how the great ones are. I got to tell you a story about Peyton too, because Peyton would try to get you and laugh after you have these things with Peyton, and once you get over to the Pro Bowl, you're on the same team. Peyton try to get you drunk and then try to dig into your brain. What did you see? You know, what did you do this and that? But it's on me. Try to feed you all these Mai Tais. You know, he wanted to sit there and keep feeding you all those, and then he wanted to come and ask you and butter you up and ask you, you know, what you see and this and that. I was like, Peyton, I ain't falling for that. You know what I mean? I tell him right there. So Tom called me after the game. And he was like, he said, what did you see? I said, Tom, I've been playing with you for I don't know how long. I know your tendencies. I said, first of all, what was you thinking about doing that move that you did to try to throw that at me? I said, that was the problem, because he used to do this over-exaggerated throw. And I knew I knew the play. And I was like, you know, Wiggy, David Gibbons ain't gonna run by nobody,
right?
I'm gonna sit on that,
right?
So he did. He stood out there. He did a short motion. The only thing that he's gonna do on that one is come up. He's gonna do a quick out or try to do an out and up,
right?
Tom Brady, he gets the snap. He exaggerated a throw to the hand off the ball. So I was like, you got to take your hand off the ball to throw it. And it happens real fast. But that was so that was such a fake pump. I said, oh, he's – I just stopped in my tracks. I said, I'm going the other way. If you get me on a double move, you get me. But I've seen this before. And then I said, if you would have got me, I probably would have caught David Givens' ass anyway.
There is so much good stuff in all of that. So – Peyton Manning's at the Pro Bowl feeding you guys dry ties.
Mai Tais. That's a drink you got to try to make.
What do you do? I should. I got to do that. I got to get my Mai Tai recipe down. I can film that. But then he's talking about David Givens won't run by anybody. He later said Hines Ward wouldn't run by anybody.
Which he's right.
Which is definitely right about.
There were certain guys that are built for speed and built for power.
All receivers, with the exception of Jimmy Smith, are soft.
Yeah.
Pretty much what he said. So that's great. That's good stuff.
He is uncensored in all ways, but he
well, John
said
that, John had
he
to
thinks
him.
It and says it. Well, yeah,
that's, but that's how he was as a player, right?
Right.
So,
oh yeah.
So that I think that's the thing. You know, he talked about the transition, right? So going him going from New England to New York, and Tom going from New England to Tampa Bay.
But also the big difference too is so he spent 10 years in New England with three coaches.
Right.
Brady spent 20 with one.
Right.
So already. Yeah, he didn't change location until his 11th year in the league, but he had to go from Parcells to Carroll to Belichick,
right,
who, as he points out, was with him in 96
as his position coach.
Pretty interesting story how he and Lawyer are like, oh, hey, Bill. And Bill's like, no. I'm not your friend anymore. I'm not your position coach. I'm the head coach now.
But I can also see where, and as he pointed out, he said, it's got to be different. You know, where now he's got to worry about 53 guys instead of the guys in the DB room.
Yeah.
Where you develop a relationship in the DB room, but you can't do that same sort of thing with an entire roster. Wiggy, you'd know better than any of us. Head coach has got to be the CEO.
Yeah, they do, but it's also different because I think he, you know, you build such a bond with your position coach, and you're able to talk to him about maybe some of the
things. Mainly bitching about the head coach.
Right, right. Might be something that's going on, and they're like, you know, and now all of a sudden your position coach becomes your head coach, and you still think, all right, maybe he'll still be the same to me a little bit in a sense where, like, you know, but then he's just like, when he was like, Bill's like, yeah, I'm good.
Because I think that's like Matt Patricia's problem and some of the other guys who are assistants here. Because then they go, so now, you know, Patricia goes from being a position coach and then a coordinator, and then now all of a sudden he's the head coach, and he's trying to build all new relationships, but doesn't have the time.
Right.
So he doesn't even have, like, the 10 guys that he's super close with. He's got 53 guys where he's like, eh, I don't really know. And then,
well, that's why that's you why see so many coaches bring guys in that they've been, that they have familiarity
right.
with.
That's
why
the Lions are basically just stacking the
Lions,
deck with
you're
Pats,
seeing, you're seeing Dolphins, you're seeing Joe Judge with the Giants.
Right.
You
know,
because now they know, okay, you know, they can almost be like a kind of like a
mini assistant coach,
like,
in a way.
Well, more of a kind of a mouthpiece of what they want in that locker room, right? You know, hey, it's not as bad as you think he is. Just, you know, give him some time. Or maybe if some guys are griping with some of the situations, now you can go to coach, say, coach, hey, listen, here's what some guys are thinking.
Right.
Maybe you might want to pull off the reins a little bit, you know, practice, whatever it may be.
I found it interesting that he thought that Tom Brady was the one guy who might be exempt from, you know, the negotiating tactics employed by the Patriots. But even Tom, he said, you know, sooner or later there comes a point where Bill Belichick says that's going to do it.
Right. Yeah. The business of football.
It's a price tag. And when Bill puts that price tag on you, that's it.
Right.
You know, that's it. He's not. And, you know, Ty said, yeah, there might be a little bit of wiggle room. But once that number's on you, and your number and his number are going to be completely different.
Right.
Although, Wiggy, I said this with Keefe earlier. I am at this point convinced that if the Patriots had come to Brady before he signed with Tampa and said, whatever they're giving you, we'll match it. We'll absolutely match it. I think he was going anyway.
No, I think he would have then. I think he would have then stayed.
I don't. I think he had decided at that point it's time to go.
Well, I
personally split the difference. I think last year, if they came to him with this deal, or something similar to the Bucs deal, he stays, and then he's under contract. This year, it might have been the damage was done.
Even though I still don't think, because you heard Wes Welker, who was on the Greg Hill Show, talk about it, go, you know, I still wanted to be there, but unfortunately, financially, it wasn't going to work out. So I think Brady's...
Don't you get the sense he didn't want to be here now?
Well...
Now, Keith's probably right. Last August would have been different.
Yeah.
But now, I think he decided... It's over.
I think there's a piece of him that is probably in Tampa Bay right now and is looking forward to it, but going, man, Man, I wish I was still in New England.
Well, we'll see. Cause like you said,
don't you think that's like human nature?
Well, maybe. Well, it depends. Because I think there's always going to be a honeymoon phase.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, does that last one game or
right.
one season?
Well,
like, that's a big difference.
Ty even talked about it when he went from New England to New York. And,
yeah.
and he goes and he's talking about like before the game. And, you know, guys are, you know, listening to music on their headset. There comes a point in time in the locker room where it's like, all right, everybody start getting focused. You want to listen to your music, keep it on your headsets. But Ty's like, it's like a nightclub in there, you know.
Like, what are they doing?
Speakers and this right. and that. And then guys before the game are like, hey, man, after the game, where are we going?
And so, that is a big difference. You know, you go to a team with a losing culture. How much can one guy swing it? I would think, as much as I love Ty Law, a quarterback – might be able to swing it a little bit more.
But even because if Bruce Arians has already put in play, like, and Ty talked about Herm Edwards, right? He was like, this is how Herm's approach was. Herm was more of kind of a loose coach, allowed guys to do whatever.
More like Arians, right?
Right. So if Bruce Arians is allowing that, and, you know, guys are still listening to their speakers and kind of clowning around and joking around and whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I think even if Tom, because Bruce knows. Well, if I side with Tom, do I alienate a larger portion of the players versus, say, trying to sit down with Tom and going, hey, listen, this is kind of how we do I know it might not be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I think there's going to be, you know, that fine line where Brady will always say, man, I wish I still was in New England, even though it might be a small percentage
maybe.
Of it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. But then again, this year, even when they were 8-0, he was miserable.
Don't you think he was more miserable because of the offensive production?
Yeah, and I think that's all kind of inclusive because there's no guarantee that the offense is going to be better this year.
Well, yeah,
right, because the guys are all the same. It seems.
I was saying if you re-signed,
if you got somebody else,
if you went after DeAndre Hopkins, went after Stephon Diggs. If everything was different, I understand if you just bring Brady back with the same cast of characters,
then it's going to be the same.
Yeah.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. By the way, our Brady Week continues tomorrow with another former Tom Brady teammate and arguably one of the two best pass-catching backs of the Tom Brady era. Kevin Falk will join us on tomorrow's program at 12:30. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.